Hey, wrestling fans, Boris and Bart here.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm great. Have you heard the news?
What news?
It is the 100th episode of the Drive-By Podcast. It's super awesome.
That is awesome news. You realize they like me far more than they like you.
Dude, you say that about everybody.
Well, it is true of everyone as well. Congratulations, Drive-By Podcast, on your 100th episode. Here's to 100 more.
Hey, this is Steven at Awesome Fanatic with Raw Views. Congratulations on 100 episodes to some of my favorite OG Twitter fam. Congrats, guys.
Hey, everyone. This is Heart of Shimmer champion Dust, otherwise known as Zoe Sky, and you're listening to the Drive-By Podcast with the Mics on Mics. Thank you for checking out this awesome wrestling podcast, and congratulations to these guys for this milestone 100th episode.
This is Sizzling Stan Styles, the Shake Weight Supreme, the King of Cream, and you are listening to Drive By Pod. Congratulations, Mike and Mike, for 100 episodes. That's right.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jason from the New Age Insiders. Big shout out to Drive By Pod on hitting 100 episodes. A legitimate accomplishment. Be super proud of yourselves and keep up the great work.
Radio. What's up, Drive-By Pod? Want to congratulate you on your 100th episode. Congratulations, guys. Keep up the great wrestling talk. Love you, miss you. Hulk smash!
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike Marcus. He is Mike Forrest. We are the Mics on Mics, and this is episode 100 of Drive By. How's it going, Mike?
Man, 100, what a wonderful day.
It's quite an achievement, at least in my personal opinion, to be at least plugging away for 100 weeks in a row.
That's pretty impressive. I've only been here for like half of it, but it's pretty impressive on your part.
No. Don't sell yourself short. You can go ahead and kind of reap. What's that like? You're grandfathered in. You're gonna be given credit for all past 100 episodes because I mean, before you were permanent, you were kind of here every other week anyway.
That's true. I was here frequently.
So, I think we'll keep doing what we've been doing, and let's just get in that time machine. And go back so we can take a look at last week on Drive By.
What did I just say?
This sucker's electrical, but I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts? What the hell is a gigawatt?
Mike, last week on Drive By, you brought up something really fun at the end of the show, and you know, sometimes we like to toot our own horn a little bit, right?
We do like to do that from time to time.
So, you brought up the whole situation where a few years back, Kevin Owens used a stunner, didn't use the kick for the setup, it didn't work, he didn't get the pin, and then Stone Cold called him out on it on his podcast. Yada, 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 you need to kick him in the gut to have it be effective.
Yes.
You brought that up, that on Kevin Owens' return to the WWE after his knee surgery, he used the stunner, full on, kick to the stomach, Stone Cold stunner, 1, 2, 3, got the pin. You mentioned that Stone Cold even tweeted about it, you know, when properly executed, being highly devastating. Well, here's the next fun fact. Kevin Owens, later in the week, after we recorded, I believe, post, and it's probably, I don't know if these Facebook pages are actually ran by these people. I kind of doubt it. That being said, Kevin Owens posted a video of the end of that match from SmackDown and says, "Hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I finally figured it out."
Oh, look at that. That's so awesome.
And I just thought, man,
I'm so glad I listened to that random episode 3 years
of the Stone Cold podcast.
3 years ago.
Yeah, good stuff, man. I just thought I gotta give Mike some major credit on that one.
That was a good catch. That was a good catch. I don't have much this week. Just simply listening back to the show, in hindsight, Michael Batista was the obvious choice. The dude is a worldwide movie star. Like, how did I not know that he got the most views on YouTube? That's all I really have. It's just like, in hindsight, I was listening to it back, and I was like, this is obviously the choice. What was I doing here?
That's an easy mistake, because, I mean, Batista was more of a surprise, where Roman was advertised and a current star who we're waiting to see developments on. So I wouldn't fault yourself that much with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to beat myself up over
it. You'll survive.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Okay, then I guess just to round out last week on Drive-By, Mike, did we answer the question?
Which question's that?
The question of if Dusty Rhodes and Goldust teamed together and formed a tag team, would they be called Gold Dusty?
I don't know, but I've got a new one.
Ooh, okay, what's this?
If Jericho and Cody became a tag team, would they be called Jericody?
The answer to that one is yes, and I believe the answer to the other one is also yes.
Yeah.
And I love both of these teams.
I like to think that those would be solid teams as well.
Solid teams with solid team names. This has been Last Week on Drive-By. So take it and check yourself before you wreck yourself. So take it and check yourself before you wreck yourself. Come on and check yourself before you wreck yourself. We have a pretty jam-packed show. We are at episode 100. It's a cool achievement to, like we said earlier, to make it to this level. And we hope to keep going. Before you forget, Mike, the show is now going by the name Drive-By Wrestling Podcast. All the information is going to be updated and changed by the time you hear this show, by the time it gets to your subscription feed, the Facebook page, again, facebook.com/drivebypod. Drive-By Pod is our @ for Twitter and our @ for Instagram. Check us out, guys. Like and subscribe, follow, all that fun, happy stuff. Mike, we also have a lot of stuff going on the road to WrestleMania. It just keeps continuing to heat up. We had an amazing week of wrestling a couple weeks ago. I think this week was maybe not as strong, but still very good. I hate to say it because it sounds like I'm downplaying what they've done, you know, previously, and we're not the kind of guys that sit here and bash the product just continually, but it's a lot better. I mean, these two shows this week, even though they weren't maybe as hot as the weeks before, still really good shows, especially when compared to some of the stuff we've had before, right?
These shows were both very good shows. I mean, especially if you want to go back to the dark days of November, these shows were excellent. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to get into Fastlane, which is coming up Sunday, and do our usual predictions, and we're also going to expand on some of the key points of the stories that are being told. That said, a couple developments we do want to touch on. How about Samoa Joe winning the U.S. title in what was an amazing match?
It was an excellent... I'm not generally a big fan of matches with, like, the four corners matches like that. Too many guys trying to get their spots in. It's too much to keep up with. I would prefer generally a good one-on-one match. But with that said, excellent match. All four guys gave it everything that they possibly could have. Joe's a great guy to have this belt on heading into Mania. That way, if you want to have, you know, your Zack Ryder moment with someone where they really deserve that belt or their moment and they can take down the dominant heel, you can do that. If you just want to start Joe off on like a good heel run with this belt, Mania is a good place to go with it. Joe's a great guy to have this belt on, and I'm really happy for him that he's finally got some gold on the main roster.
Agreed, and that's where I'd like to see it. A couple points on that match, Mike. Every guy in that match looked great. No matter who won that match, every guy looked good.
I would
every guy
I would also like to state, I was not a fan of this archery U.S. title run going into it, but it really turned out to, like, you know, be a short, fun thing just to kill some time in between Mania. Like, it really did. He was entertaining with it. The whole what would John Cena do stuff is outstanding. I really enjoyed this run from him. So I was glad that, you know, I'm glad that it's over, and I'm glad that it was entertaining while it happened.
And I'm glad that Joe got the title, and you bring up a good point. This whole John and Cena stuff. See, you said it could be a way to get someone that Zack Ryder moment. I want to think the other way, and I want to think that we're going to let Joe become a monster heel. We're going to bring some prestige back to the U.S. title, make it a championship that people want to win, and we're going to let Joe be the guy to do that. And maybe, I'm just spitballing here, we have to assume that Cena's going to have a match at Mania, right?
I mean, you would think. It's John Cena. He has to.
And we're pretty much in the mindset that we're not getting the Brian Cena match that we all kind of wanted.
Yeah, that's probably not happening now.
So, I find it odd that R-Truth would mention John Cena so many times in this U.S. Open Challenge and, you know, la-da-da, not a, you know, all that stuff. If there's not a chance that John Cena's going to come back and challenge for the U.S. title?
I could see him coming back and challenging for it. Joe would be... Is John Cena going to lose at Mania, though? I don't want Cena to beat Joe for the U.S. title. But I do want Joe... I do want Joe to beat John Cena for the U.S. title as the start of a dominant heel run.
John Cena lost at Mania last year.
Yeah, but that's different, man. Come on.
I mean, it is The Undertaker, but to be fair, the mystique of the undefeated streak has long been done and gone. So, I'm just saying, I think it would be a good spot. I would, of course, want, you know, Cena to do the job, Joe to go over. So, if that's not the outcome, then no, let's do something else. But if that's the outcome, I'm all for John coming in, getting a spot, and then putting a guy like Joe who's going to be with the company. See, Cena's not in that spot to win anymore because he's not with the company full-time.
That's true. That's true. He wouldn't
that's what we do.
He wouldn't probably be a smart choice to put the belt on.
And we have a history there. You know, they train together in California. They could play on that if they wanted to. And just kind of go from there. So I think it would be a really interesting story to tell. And to be fair, they don't have a lot of time to tell it, but I think there's enough there that they, if they started right after Fastlane, they could tell this story in the time where it takes to get to Mania.
Yeah, of course they could. Definitely. There's plenty of time to tell that story.
Absolutely. We heard last week that there were some facelifts on the creative team. We already kind of knew about Bruce Pritchard, although he's downplaying his role. Kind of. But Dana Lawyer was added to the creative team. News actually just broke before we recorded, Mike, that there's another name added to that list, and that is, you know, the one and only JEFFJARRET, Jeff Jarrett.
Spend my days working hard on the go, the hands on the clock. Keep spinning too slow. All right, cool. Jeff Jarrett. That's a thing, you know, that's happening. Right on.
Here's the thing, man. Like, people kind of lost their wits over the whole Dana Lawyer thing, and then there were definitely some retractors with the whole Pritchard thing. Here's my thought on this. If you really think about the names that they've recently put in some of these positions... You know, you've got a Hurricane, you've got Abyss, you've got Sanjay, you've got Jeff Jarrett, you got Bruce Pritchard, and I mean, I don't know what she could contribute, but you got Dana Lawyer. They're definitely shaking things up, and some of these names I think are really amazing choices.
I think they're interesting choices. I really do. I mean, like, Jeff Jarrett is an interesting choice. Dana Warrior's an interesting choice. Like, they're doing some interesting different things. Bruce Pritchard was an interesting choice. I think they're just trying to think outside the box, maybe. See, you know, just throw some shit at the wall. See what sticks. What doesn't.
why not, right?
Right, why not? And I'm not even saying that as like a bad thing. Let's just, you know, let's experiment a little bit. You've got a set team of creative. Why not just, you know, throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks with some other ones?
Yeah, I'm all about it. And I'm not, you know, again, kind of like I said with the whole Dana Warrior thing last week, I'm not going to hate it until they give me a reason to hate it. And so far, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I don't know. I don't know with the Jarrett thing. Are you aware of when this started? Does he have anything to do with these last few TVs?
I haven't really read anything about it other than that he's part of it now.
So, I mean, hey, if this stuff's been in the works for a few weeks now and this is the direction the show's going to take, I mean, so far so good, right?
Yeah, it's been... I've got no complaints. I know some people have complaints, but not a lot of people. I personally have none.
But Mike, there's some people that will always have a complaint.
Yeah, it's just how it works with some people.
It really is just the way it is. Something that is just the way it is and is really unfortunate is Ciampa's neck injury. Tommaso Ciampa. I just said his name two different ways, didn't I?
Yeah.
Can we figure that out?
I think it's Ciampa.
But are you sure?
Nah, but that's how they say it on NXT TV, is Ciampa.
I like it. It's Ciampa, so we'll go with that.
Okay.
So Tommaso Ciampa has a neck injury, is having a type of fusion surgery, which sounds pretty not good, if I'm going to fuddle through English here. Doesn't sound good at all. That being said, it does not sound like they seem, from everything I'm reading, it doesn't sound like they're overly concerned with like it being a career-ending thing. Does that make sense? Like, what's the vibe you're picking up from what you're seeing and hearing?
That he's going to be out for a while, but it's not the end of things, you know? By any means.
The thing that I read that made me the most hopeful was that this neck surgery, typically people return to quote unquote normal activity in 4 to 6 weeks. Pro wrestling is not normal activity, so everyone can get that out of your head. That's not happening. But if you can return to normal activity in 4 to 6 weeks, I would imagine this is probably one of, probably, again, we're not doctors, one of the faster, you know, recovery times from a neck injury / surgery, wouldn't you say?
I would assume this has to be one of the fastest ones.
So we'll see where this goes. It really sucks because, I mean, apparently they already knew this was a problem when they did these call-ups or debuts or showcases or whatever. We haven't landed on that either. So I don't know why, if maybe just to get Gargano on TV, but you could have done that. I don't know, which makes it all the more confusing. But from what I'm hearing, it was a problem they knew about. They had to address it the best way they could, and they did. They've already got plans for how to return him, which I'm pretty excited about. If that's what they're thinking, then I think things should hopefully work out for the best.
Yeah, I would think main roster. You think that's the plan? Main roster him.
I mean, we have to finish telling this Gargano story, don't we?
Could do that on the main roster. You could just keep telling story on the main roster.
I would appreciate if they continued it and paid tribute to the history.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that still have to happen on NXT TV, so you know, we'll just let it go from there and see where it develops, but you know, hopefully Ciampa can recover from this quickly, have a full recovery and not have any issues for an in-ring return.
Oh, I was just getting ready to say, let's hope that he has no problems, because he is one of the better parts of pro wrestling today. So,
yeah, totally.
Like, he's an all-around phenomenal worker, so, especially if you're someone that's a heel fan. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I couldn't agree more, Mike. I couldn't agree more. Is there any other topic that might not fit into our fast lane talk that you want to tackle, Mike?
No, Triple H's promo, that probably won't work into the fast lane in any way. Triple H gave an outstanding promo on Monday, and I don't want to touch on it too much. I just want to say that dude is still amazing when he goes into that zone, isn't he? Isn't he just so, like, it's easy to, like, talk shit about Hunter at this point in his career. Be like, oh, he married his way in, he slept his way up to the top, blah. You know, you could say whatever about him. And even if he did accomplish, like, if, even if he did do that, like, props to you for accomplishing that. Your dick game is so good that you run pro wrestling. Cool. Like, I don't see how that's, I don't see how that's shit talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Stephanie McMahon is a MILF of the utmost quality. So I don't really see where that shit talk, like, is even comes into play at. But with that said, this dude, like, when he cuts a promo like he did on Monday, you are totally reminded why this dude is one of the greatest of all time and a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like he really is something special.
So you didn't have a problem with the kayfabe breaking, name dropping, Rick?
Oh, not a Richard? Not a single bit. That made it better for me, knowing the history between them. That was A-okay to break kayfabe right there.
You didn't have a problem with him saying, "I'm not a character," and, you know, according to some talking heads, just making everyone in the back seem worthless.
People, get the fuck off of it. Like, it's wrestling, man.
I couldn't agree more with you. I couldn't agree more. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into Fastlane, man. A pay-per-view that, the both of us attended together last year. They're in Ohio again, but I'm not going.
Neither am I.
Would have loved to. Wasn't in the cards this year. But we're going to talk about the card when we get back. Hang tight.
And now, a special reading of the lyrics to New York, New York by the Nearfall Network Zone, Enzo Amore. First things first. Dazo would like to, thank Mr. Forrest and Mr. Marcus for allowing me to be part of their lovely program over the last few months. As you know, the Zoe took a hit there back in the summertime. Things got dark. I'm not gonna lie, there was times where this show was the only thing that was paying the bills, and they don't even pay me. But all good things must come to an end, and as we approach episode 100 of the drive-by, it is with sadness in the Zoe's heart that he must tell you he has accepted a position at his cousin Tony's custodial service business, and I will be heading to New York City, to the Big Apple. So, this is the Zoe swan song, so here we go, let's do it up big. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes, they're longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I wanna wake up in a city that doesn't sleep, not some dude's backyard. Find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. Again, not the heap of leaves and broken tree limbs in someone's backyard. These little tail blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, the Zoe will make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. The Zoe would like to step in right here for a second. And let all the kids out there know it's not up to the place you live. Like, you have to put in effort. Like, the Zoe did not just fall into this wonderful custodial gig. Like, the Zoe worked hard for this. You gotta put in work, you know? New York, New York. I wanna wake up in a city that never sleeps. Find I'm number one, top of the list. King of the hill, a number one. Best janitor in the fucking city. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. And if I can make it there,
I'm gonna make it anywhere. It's up to you. New York, New York, New York. How you doing for the last time? Again, thank you so much for all your support and love in those trying times. But things are gonna be better.
What the hell?
Yeah, I know. It came as a shock to me too, man. It came as a shock to me too.
Is the tent gone?
Yeah, he took it all down today. He came in like he knocked and let me know what was going on. He just felt it was appropriate, you know. He got, you know, force and barter here now. And
did he feel pushed out?
No, he didn't feel pushed out at all. Not a single bit. Not a single bit. But the Zoe, you know, as we moved into episode 100 and started doing some changes, the Zoe just felt maybe it was time for him to move along. You know, he got offered this custodial gig, and you know, sleeping indoors, I think, really was the real thing that did it for him.
I mean, that'll do
I can't blame him for wanting to sleep indoors. I sleep indoors every night. It's fucking outstanding. It's cold as hell.
He probably should have found this thing before winter ended and spring started.
Zoe told me he got to think, and he thought maybe just like moving forward with the show and everything that, maybe Zoe was part of the past, and as we move into the future, maybe a new gimmick will come along or something.
Man, this is quite a shock. I wish you the best, Mike. He'll be back.
Nah, I don't know, man. I'm sure he'll be around, you know? Plus, also, you know how hard it is, really, for a man of Enzo's limited brain power to come up with, like, a catchy TV theme song from the 80s or 90s every week? Like, he's been doing this for, like, 6 months now, man. Like, he's going through, like, every song.
Well, at least every song he knows.
And you'd be surprised how many of these songs don't actually have, like, lyrics?
Lyrics?
Or like, you know, more than 6 lyrics? So, you know, maybe it's just time. I feel like, you know, we got other things going on, and Zoe just, he needed to go home, you know?
I guess it works out for the best.
Yeah. Sorry to surprise you with it like that. Like I was shocked with it when he brought me this information, you know, shortly before we started recording. So, but
Enzo being Enzo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he can continue tweeting about the wrong wrestler.
I was like, you're not even going to give us a 2 weeks notice. And he was all like, what's a 2 weeks notice? And I was like, that's fair. That sounds about right.
And also, we don't pay him.
So. No, we don't pay him, and he doesn't have to give us a 2 weeks notice. So.
But still, I mean, it'd be nice.
I mean, it would have been cool, but, you know.
Anyway, it does. So, let's get into this Fastlane pay-per-view card, Mike. Again, kind of like the last one, kind of like Elimination Chamber.
Quick prediction.
Go ahead.
I think that Cody is going to win the G1.
All right, there you go.
That's a throwback for you, Mike.
I know.
That's a personal throwback that 3 people are going to get.
Hey, if those 3 people will be laughing their ass off.
Yeah.
Me being one of them. Anyway. Oh, see? You got to reflect on the good times.
The other 2 people don't even listen to this show.
Nope. Probably out of spite and many other reasons. Okay. Fastlane, Sunday, Cleveland, Ohio. Got a pretty solid looking card here, Mike. These are those kind of pay-per-view specials, whatever, who maybe they don't sound like, oh, that's really what I want to devote my time to, and end up being really, really good. So I think there's potential here. Let's just go over the matches. If it's something we need to expand on storyline-wise and everything like that, we will. And we'll give our predictions. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Pre-show match. Rey Mysterio versus Andrade.
Rey Mysterio is in a pre-show match.
How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't get caught up in the whole pre-show, like, I mean, you want people to watch the pre-show, right?
I guess. Just Rey Mysterio? I get wanting to have a good pre-show match, but man, Rey Mysterio?
Well, to me...
You know, it's going to be a hella good match, so maybe it's not a bad idea to just, like, get the crowd hot before the actual show with that, because it really is. These two guys have outstanding matches together, so, you know, this might not be a bad idea.
Well, here's how I'm going to look at this, Mike. Kind of like that, kind of along those lines, but these guys have had, what, two or three matches on TV already?
Yeah.
And they've all been good, and I could watch them have a match, like, every week, so that's not a... I'm not downing it. What I'm saying is everybody's seen it, so people know it's good because everybody's seen it, and there's no title, there's no stipulation, there's no this or that or the other. Let's put it on the pre-show, get people to want to watch the pre-show, have a really good match, have a big name on the pre-show, and see what happens. Why not, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then maybe we take this. This story has to continue. I mean, it's got this match, and I've heard the rumors. I've heard the innuendo, if you will, stipulation of a mask versus hair match with these two possibly at Mania, which I think could be great if done properly, and they have the time. Especially depending on how this match goes, they have the time to build off that.
Mask versus hair, huh?
That's what I'm hearing. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's a fan want or if that's really what's being discussed in the back. But, I mean, either way, there's definitely something here with these two feuding and what it leads to. I mean, I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah, sure. We'll see what happens.
Who you like for this one, Mike?
For this one, Andrade.
Yeah, I'm with you. He took the pin on... For the title match, U.S. title match, did he not?
Yeah, I believe so.
So he'll get his win back against Rey here. Tag team Raw tag team championship match. The Revival champions versus the NXT call ups. Aleister Black and Ricochet versus the Glorious Ones. Chad. Oh my gosh.
Gable.
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. Jeez.
It's all right, man. I think the Revival retains.
I don't think. I mean, clearly, I don't think you put the titles on the NXT guys because they still have NXT stuff going on.
Exactly.
And they're in the Dusty Classic. I still love that name, Mike. They're in the Dusty Classic.
It still sounds like a sex move.
It still does. It would kind of be weird to see the Raw Tag Team Champions competing in the NXT Dusty Classic. So, I think we can eliminate them. I think this is a way to maybe get Roode and Gable back into that tag team scene, like the championship scene. And more as, I guess, on the heel side of it now. Is that how we're taking this?
It sure looks that way, doesn't it?
So, yeah. So, we tell that story, maybe leading into Mania. I don't know. Is it a Mania pre-show match? I don't know. The pre-show is going to be like 7 hours, so there's time. but I actually heard the WrestleMania pre-show is starting as soon as Fastlane ends.
No shit.
That's what I hear. Oh, I'm going to go with your Revival as
that
well.
That sounds about right.
It does. So, yeah, Revival on this one, retain the championships, and we see where that story goes. I like it. I think this could be a good match with these six guys.
I think it's going to be... I think it has the potential to be a very good match.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay. Let's save that one for later. The Shield. Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. back together yet again to take on the evil, maniacal trio of Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley.
I didn't need this.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, just like, not at all.
I don't hate it. One of the best parts
of Ambrose leaving was that the Shield could just never get back together again. We could just never do that again. Because, you know...
At least for a long time.
You know, they talk about... You know, you get it with movie sequels, but it also works with wrestling gimmicks. Diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shield has been... You want to talk about one of the worst ever with diminishing returns?
It's just too often, too soon.
It's too often, too soon, too snake bit every damn time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not... With that said... Did I not get the goosebumps a little bit when Dean Ambrose put his fist in? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
yes, I did.
I'm right there with you, man.
I'm a little ashamed of myself for it, but it doesn't change the fact that I just don't really. I don't want to see the Shield ever reunite for like. Here's the thing that you really. I'm gonna fantasy book just a little bit, but. The Shield hasn't been needed. You know what I mean? You want to think about like the Shield and their basic core concept are the Hounds of Justice, right? And they're there to right wrongs, right?
Yep.
And so the first time that wrong that they were writing was Roman needs to get over. The second time that the wrong that they were writing was the Bar and someone else, the Bar.
Drew, wasn't it Drew? Was it McIntyre?
I don't think it was Drew McIntyre.
I don't even remember at this point.
I feel like it was like Elias. It was like maybe. It was like maybe. The Bar was the main gist of it.
The Bar and a Drifter.
And it was just like, this isn't worth their time. You know what would have been worth their time would have been like the fucking Balor Club. You know what would super be worth the Shield's time? But the ship's sailed on that Balor Club bullshit, right? You know what would super be worth the Shield's time?
What's that?
The Undisputed Era. But,
oh, yeah, 100%.
But you watered the Shield down so fucking much that I don't want to see that. You should have saved the Shield for these epic moments like the Undisputed Era comes to Raw or SmackDown and they're running... the house on
rough
everyone,
shot. Yep.
Just destroying everything
for weeks.
For weeks. And what finally do you have happen? You finally get the band back together, and the Shield comes, and you have these like great storytelling moments down the road. But instead, we're doing this bullshit. But like right on, if Dean Ambrose is really leaving, I'm okay with this. If Dean Ambrose is staying here, man, get this shit off my TV.
So, a couple of things I want to expand on. Let's pick the match and go from there. Shield wins this, obviously, right?
Obviously.
That being said...
The Shield doesn't lose.
What are the chances that Dean turns on them again?
I mean, they're pretty okay, actually. Really. I could see it.
And I think... No matter what, if Dean's really leaving, if Dean ends up staying, I still think the chances are pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't give it above like a 70% chance, but like I'd say like 62%.
Yeah, sure.
Better than half.
Yeah.
But something I want to expand on because we talked about it last week, Mike, with Roman coming back and our concern. Did the segment this week on Raw kind of calm your nerves with the whole Roman in the Universal title picture?
Yes. Yes, it did.
I think that was one of the smartest things they could have done. He basically came out and said, look, man, you ran the ship. You guided the ship while I wasn't here. It's your time to shine.
That he did. So, I mean, I can't really complain. I'm not, you know, getting fucking wigging out or anything.
I mean, that is until Vince comes out in a straitjacket and says, "You're best for business, Roman. Get in there."
Why did you say that?
Because I wanted you to react like that.
I was like, okay with everything, but he's doing that. And he could do that. Why would you say,
He could do that.
I don't like this at all.
All right. Asuka, our SmackDown Women's Champion, versus, God's Greatest Creation? Mandy Rose, SmackDown Women's Championship. There is no way in hell Asuka loses this title right now.
Nope.
I know there was a scary moment over the past weekend. Some sort of botch where it appeared that Asuka landed bad on her head or her neck in the match with Mandy. Look, man, shit happens. I didn't see it. I don't know whose fault it was. It might have been Mandy's. It might have been Asuka's. It might have been a miscommunication. It might have been both of theirs. I don't know. And
I said, okay. You know,
it happens. Let's just be glad that Asuka's fine and there's no issues from this. And let's not drag people down because they made a mistake. The problem in wrestling is a mistake can, you know, hurt people severely. But unfortunately, that shit happens, dude. You know what I mean? As long as it's not negligent or out of malice, it's hard to get upset about it.
That's kind of how I feel. You can't really get upset at accidents.
Where, and this might be something we touch on in a little bit, but without foreshadowing of anything else on this card, do you have any clue where this goes, where the SmackDown Women's title goes from here?
I really don't, man. The only thing I can maybe come up with is, because Mandy Rose, it seemed, I thought maybe she was going to be the Mania thing, but.
Yeah, there was talk of that.
Maybe they draw that out. You know, it could get drawn out. I don't think so. But I think, I'm not sure how we get there other than, you know, how we say on here. You know, we get there by pro wrestling is how we get there.
Yeah. Well, let's table that. I think I want to come back to it.
Okay. Okay. Good then. We might be thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's come back to that. Okay. Next on the card, Boston Hug Connection, our first ever. There was none before them. Women's Tag Team Champions, Sasha and Bayley. Versus Nia Jax and Tamina. I just don't think you take these titles off of these two right now.
No, I don't either. And I think that the story you've been telling is Nia and Tamina dominating them. And, you know, obviously they're going to come back and fight the good fight, get the good win.
Yeah, and you know, these are new titles. I think, quite honestly, I think these two should hold these for a very long time.
I totally agree.
And I'm talking possibly even to WrestleMania next year. Possibly. We'll see how it goes. But if done properly across the three brands, which is how this is being kind of volleyed, is they're going to, you know, these are going to be up for grabs in NXT too, guys, which I think is amazing. And I think that if done properly, these two can be a dominant team beating all comers until they can't. And then whoever beats them is massively, you know, gets that massive over rub, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that that's the best way to introduce a new belt and get some new people going.
Yep, I would agree. Okay, let's take a look at one more match, and we'll take a quick break. SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Usos are champions versus The Miz and Shane McMahon. I mean, it's Usos all the way, right?
I think so. I think we're setting up. Are we setting up for Shane and Miz at Mania?
We have to be. It doesn't. There's no other thing that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'd say
we're not going to keep this tag team thing going, right?
No, I just it's disappointing. I've really just enjoyed what they've been doing, and
with Miz and Shane.
Miz and Shane, yeah. I mean, you know, everything that they. I mean, really, this is probably the best thing they've done with Shane since they did that like ill-advised zombie thing that actually worked out pretty cool.
Yeah, Zombie Shane worked out a lot better than we actually gave it, you know, hopes for.
So, I don't know. I like it, but obviously it has to end.
It does, and, you know, a lot of people kind of talk shit on Shane McMahon doing a WrestleMania match, and, you know, oh, that's not good enough for AJ, or that's not good enough for... Who did he wrestle last year? I'm drawing a blank. Oh, he was tag team with Daniel Bryan. That's not good enough for Daniel Bryan and this, that, and the other. It's not good enough for KO and Sammy. Listen, if you're in a program with the boss's son at WrestleMania, they have, they care about you, okay? And they see you as a big time star because that's a spectacle match and they need you to be that part of that spectacle. And that's probably where we're leading. I love the Usos, and quite frankly, I think they're the best tag team in the world. Fight me. You know what I mean? So.
No, I'm with you on that.
I'm good with them being the champion through WrestleMania. Word on the street is we might get an Usos Hardy Boys match, and I'm not going to complain about that.
That just would be fun for WrestleMania. That just sounds like the type of match you want at WrestleMania. Just like a good, fun tag team match. Like
yeah,
that.
Especially if they throw a ladder in there. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I get worried saying. Every time the Hardys are around a ladder now.
That's a very fair statement. They do scare the ever-living shit out of me when there's ladders involved. We're going to take a quick break, guys. Boris and Bart are back, and I do have to apologize. Boris was pissed at me, Mike.
Yeah, you mispronounced the dude's name. Dickhead.
I said Bart before Boris, and he does not like that.
Oh, really? I thought he was mad like because you called Lord Boltan Lord Bolton.
No, well, you know, whatever. Pronunciation. No, he was mad because I put Bart in front of him, and I'm not going to do that anymore, sir, I swear. So, we're going to take a quick break.
Wait.
Yeah?
So he doesn't like when you said Bart and Boris?
No, I don't.
It's gonna be that's gonna be interesting information for me moving forward. Okay.
Listen, I honestly thought like Trump's Russian spies were gonna come in and take me out, but I digress. Anyway, Boris and Bart are gonna give us a quick rundown of the year in wrestling, 1985.
What's up, guys? Barton Boris here with the Super Short Report.
Why did you say your name first?
What do you mean?
My name is always first. It has always been first, and it will always be first.
Is it seriously a big deal? It's not a big...
Says the person who changed their name from second to first, says it is not a big deal.
All right. I will change it back. Relax, okay?
I will do it. Shut your mouth. This is Boris and Bart, and the Super Short Report for 1985.
All right. Happy?
Yeah, not really. All right.
So, 1985, March, while the world was glued to their TVs, watching a small red plumber jump up and down, Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou Albano were poised to make a huge impact on the wrestling world with the Rockin' Wrestling Connection.
Why are you talking that way?
What's wrong?
You know what you're doing.
You didn't like it? I thought it was like a kind of like a game show type, you know, like a extra dramatic emphasis.
I do not like it. Do not do it. You sound like a jerk.
All right. Well, you start. You do your part then, and I'll just do your part.
All right. It is 1985. The Iron Sheik and the monstrous Nikolai Volkov.
Here we go. I knew.
Well, shut up while I'm talking. Let me talk. You talk, and then I talk.
Alright, sorry. Sorry about that.
Alright. Where was I? The monstrous Nikolai Volkov destroyed the window and retold them.
That's not their names.
Wind, shut your mouth.
just not their names. That's not their names. Their names were Rotundo and Barry Windham.
All right, whatever. They were crap. The Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov.
Is everything on the rest of that paper, is it about Nikolai Volkov?
No.
Is it?
It is not all about Nikolai.
Give me the paper.
No, I will not.
Just let me see.
No, get off of my paper.
I knew it. Every single thing here is Nikolai Volkov. What is wrong with you? I just ask you to do one thing. Just do it 1985 and you...
I will do how I feel 1985 deserves to be done.
I just knew it was going to be all Nikolai. I should have said no. All right, 1985. Hulk Hogan was super huge. Andre, he was tossing money into the crowd. Mr. T was there for some reason. I can't believe that you just did Nikolai Volkov. Like, I could have bet $1 million that that's what you were going to do, and you did it.
Nikolai Volkov was the best star in the entire world in 1985. Why would I not discuss him?
All right, that's it. That's it. We're done. Hey guys, thanks for having us. This is the super short report with Boris.
Thank you very much.
And Bart. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we can talk about something other than Nikolai Volkov.
Nikolai is phenomenal, and he was fantastic in 1986.
All right, guys, thanks. Have a good one.
All right, Mike, I left a few things for us to finish off because I think we're going to expound and fantasy book and all this fun stuff going in to wrap up this Fastlane pay-per-view. What do you think?
Yeah, sure.
So, don't sound too excited.
I'm sorry, I had something in my eye and I was picking it out at that moment.
I guess we'll circle back. I'm going to leave the obvious one for last. Let's talk about the WWE Championship match. Daniel Bryan, our eco-friendly champion, against the returning face Kevin Owens, who now knows how to properly do a Stone Cold Stunner.
Yes.
I'm so confused by all of this. Like, clearly, I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan to win. And by saying confused, I want to state, I don't hate any of it. I'm just confused by where we're going, which is a good thing, I think, sometimes, if it ends up well. Owens is back. You hate to see him come back and not win. That being said, we all want to see Kofi versus Bryan at WrestleMania. Kofi was not at SmackDown, but it was clearly stated that the New Day will be at Fastlane. Where are we going? Mustafa Ali makes an appearance. Where are we going? Where are we going, Mike?
I need
you to wrap this up in a pretty little package.
I can't.
Because I am confused.
I can't do it for you, man. I can't. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And here's the thing that I hate. I think we're headed towards like a multi-man thing, probably. At Mania. And I just really don't want that. I think we're probably going to have a clusterfuck at Fastlane at the end. And it's going to turn into a lot of tag matches between now and WrestleMania. And we're going to have some kind
of... Holla. We're going to have a tag match, player.
Exactly. And it's going to start right now. But I think we're going to
have... Good news, there's only like 3 weeks till Mania after Fastlane.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome, man, because I'm calling off work for Mania. I fucking hate my job so much, guys. Like, I fucking hate my job.
Hear, hear.
So much, guys. Anyway, so I think we're going to see some tag matches, and then we're going to have... some kind of multi-man ladder match thing at WrestleMania.
Think they do a ladder match for the WWE Championship?
Man,
I mean, they've done it before. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a possibility.
Why the shit they wouldn't.
You think they put Daniel Bryan in a ladder match? Well, they put him in an elimination chamber. So, yeah, they'll put him in a ladder match.
Yeah.
I just answered my own question.
Yep, you did. I think I think maybe that's a possibility. That just seems like the introduction of Mustafa Ali and all of it. Really kind of made me think that the multi-man thing is maybe where we're headed.
Well, here's the thing. We have, and this is another reason it's so confusing, kind of what I stated at the beginning, you don't want KO to lose, but you don't want him to win. You know what I mean? You have Kofi out there, which they've clearly stated they're going to be there. Man, you really still have this Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt thing hanging over our heads, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do we?
I mean, it has to at least be in the back of your mind. And then let me throw this to you. Now we have a Sami Zayn thing hanging in the back of our heads, too.
They did tell Kevin Owens he had no friends.
What if Sami Zayn interferes, costing Kevin Owens the match?
Well, that's a good point, too.
Joining the intellectual... what did he call him? His intellectual equivalent? And joining with Daniel Bryan. I mean, it's a possibility. Sami Zayn is actually a humanitarian, so there's that. It would in real life and kayfabe make sense.
Yeah,
I just don't see it happening. But then where do we go with Kofi? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. There's so many things. So you're right. This could end up being like Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston versus Mustafa Ali versus Sami Zayn versus, I don't know, whoever else you want to throw in there. But are we just going to have multi-mania? Because we're clearly getting a triple threat with the women, right?
Yeah, we're clearly getting a triple threat with the women. And we might even be getting a triple threat with the Universal. We still don't know.
So, I think, I like that it's cloudy and I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
I am perfectly happy with all of this. Like, I love not knowing what's going on. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, me
this
too.
This is a blast
me too.
For me.
There's been a few things recently that have been really hard to predict, you know, and that's good. That means one, as fans, we're getting sucked in, right?
Yes.
And it means two, that, well, let me split this in 2A and 2B. That means 2A, they're doing a very good job of, you know, red herring and misleading, or 2B, they don't know what the fuck's going on either, and that's why none of us know what's going on.
Yeah, one of those options is better than the other.
One of those is more likely than the other.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So, I think we're both going to go with Daniel Bryan, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And we're both going to say we don't know any idea about what's going to happen.
No, not a single bit. Not a single bit.
All right. So let's talk about the match of the night. And I don't even necessarily mean in a work rate or a spot fest way, although it has that potential. I'm talking about the match that everybody wants to see so we can figure out what in the hell is going on with this women's main event at WrestleMania. That is Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch wins, she's added back to this Ronda Rousey match, which, before we even talk about that, Mike, how did you feel about Monday's segment with Rousey, with everything that happened the week before? I saw a lot of people kind of bashing the fact that Rousey abandoned the title and she shouldn't just get it back and blah, 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 and not liking the fact that Becky has to fight her way into a match that she already deserves, and if suspension's up, then why does she fight? Well, the reason she's fighting is because we need a match for Fastlane, guys. That's why.
Yeah,
I mean,
you dumb shit.
It doesn't make the most sense. That being said, we need a match, we need a story for Fastlane, and we still have 3 weeks of TV after that to fill till Mania, so we'll get there, guys, okay?
I will say, one of the complaints was, why would she attack Becky and beat her up so bad if she wants Becky in the match at WrestleMania? And if Becky has to have a match on Sunday to get to that match at WrestleMania, why would you beat the fuck out of her like 5 days before that? And I thought about that for like a second. It was like, damn, that's a good point. Shit.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I would have forgot if you didn't. I'll tell you why. Because for a week, Becky Lynch was on Twitter talking shit and saying that her husband was a dick. That's why.
All right.
I mean, we all...
And there you go. Acceptable reason.
This is where pro wrestling fans have to start realizing that all of this stuff, and this is what WWE is starting to do very well, all the stuff that you see throughout the week is going to get incorporated into this TV show. And even if that's not why, I can make that connection in my head. As a matter of fact, Rhonda, if you pay attention, said, tweet about this, bitch.
She did. She did, in fact.
So I'm going to say that's where they went. And while I don't necessarily love the leave the title in the ring and then come back and claim it the next week, everything else I thought was great. I thought it was great how she beat the shit out of Becky. I thought it was great that Becky didn't tap out to three different arm bars. I thought it was great that Charlotte kind of wanted to go after her, but was the smart, sneaky heel where I don't see an opening, so screw this, I'm out of here.
Charlotte's facial expressions were outstanding, I thought, yes, throughout that whole time. Like, how she would just kind of like, just the looks on her face, I thought were excellent. It was very well done on her part.
Yep, I agree. So, I guess, Mike, we have heel Ronda Rousey, which I'm totally down for. We have this match to determine if Becky Lynch is added to the WrestleMania main event. But my question for you is, what's the chance? We've asked these questions before. I have to come back to it now, Mike. What's the chance that this gets changed to a one-on-one match at WrestleMania?
I don't know. Out of 50-50, I think. I think this... Everything that they've done this year building up this WrestleMania has been very murky. So, it's hard to tell. But I'm going to say 50-50 because I think the chance is still there that it could be one-on-one.
Well, because what... I want to kind of bring all these things together. Like, I don't see them having a WrestleMania where you've got a multi-man WWE championship match. I think there's a possibility for some multi-man tag team championship matches. There's always a possibility for multi-man cruiserweight championship matches, right?
Always.
So, I mean, you can't just put everybody in every match because it's just going to dilute everything. And I'm not saying that we're getting multi-man matches for any of these other ones. I'm just saying there's that possibility, especially when you look at the WWE championship. I still don't see an opponent for Asuka. I just don't. I know Lacey Evans has been tossed out there, but this woman hasn't even wrestled a match on.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you said her name. I've got something to say about Lacey Evans.
Go for it, man.
What?
The floor is open.
The shit is the point of this chick. Like, what the fuck is she doing? Does she do what? I don't understand fucking any of it, man. Not a bit of it. It's like she walks out, she fucking waves, she turns around, walks back. It's like for no reason whatsoever. Like, just interrupts things in the middle. And like, I don't mind a good interruption if there's a point to it. But it's not, man. It's like she just walks out, waves. Everybody looks at each other in the crowd like, the fuck, it's this chick again. What's she doing out here? That same thing. What is going... Everybody in the crowd looks mildly confused when she does this. As does everybody else, like, involved in the skit. Look at Dean Ambrose's face anytime she's ever cut in on him. He looks super confused as to what is going on. So does Alexa Bliss. It makes no... Like, what? Do something. Do something. Like, you know what she reminds me of? Is, you ever see that movie, The Incredibles?
Yeah.
Okay. You know the part where...
Great movie.
Yes, where the little kid is just hanging out in the driveway because cool shit keeps happening at the Incredibles house. And the dad's
I think
you
brought this up before
like,
for another
the
example.
The dad's like, what are you doing here? And the kid's like, I don't know. Waiting on something amazing to happen? I'm not even waiting on something amazing to happen with her. I'm just waiting on something to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I don't have an answer for you. I don't know.
I don't understand it. It's so confusing to me.
Like, at first I was like, this is kind of funny. This is different. But now I'm just like, all right, I'm over this. Like, let her do something.
Yeah, something. Anything, man. What is happening?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But that being said, again, like, it would be absurd at this point to make her Asuka's challenger, wouldn't it? At WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absurd.
So, I mean, I guess it could be Mandy again. I guess it could be Sonya Deville somehow through Mandy. That at least would be some kind of a story. But man, the answer is Charlotte Flair.
It's still Charlotte. She's still the answer.
I mean, and I don't know how we get there. I don't know if maybe before the show starts.
Well, I've got one other possible answer.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Feed me like a baby bird.
I mean, like, you know, I don't really know how we get there, but if we need, you know, a solid heel to go against Asuka, and Alexa is she not cleared? Is she close to cleared?
I mean, she's wrestled. She's training. There was a report, actually, Uncle Dave, this week, someone asked, and he said on his radio show, well, she's injured again. And she said, well, no, I'm not, on Twitter. So, and my backup to her statement is twofold. One, she has no reason to say that she's, you know, okay if she's not. And two, she's posted videos from the Performance Center. She's been working on different moves, different techniques in the ring, and I don't think she'd be able to do that if she wasn't cleared, right?
I don't think so. So there you go. That's my answer, Alexa Bliss.
Okay. I mean, it's fair. I'd say, how do we get there? But again, pro wrestling, so whatever. The only reason I don't like that, Mike, is we don't just need all these women jumping brands. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen afterwards anyway. We've already got Becky and Charlotte on Raw, technically, right now. I mean, they're kind of on both, but they're both going for a Raw spot. I just think, again, I don't want to fantasy book it. I don't know how to fantasy book it properly, but I think there could be a scenario before this match happens on Sunday, some point in time through the show, where something gets heated enough that Charlotte gets her feathers ruffled and says, you know, she's so confident that she'll beat Becky that if Becky, you know, wins, that she'll bow out of the match completely.
I can see that happening.
Or, you know, because Becky could even challenge her, say, look, I got a sore arm, I got one knee, I'm beat all the hell, why don't you put your entire title shot on the line? And then she does, and then she loses, and then an angry Charlotte Flair comes out and attacks Asuka during her match to set that up. I mean, it's a possibility, right?
Yeah, sure.
But all that said, we both have to take Becky, right? I mean, that's, again, the obvious choice.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's time to stop putting, I mean, like, obviously we got, like, another few weeks. They could, you know, put another hoop in front of her or something, but I think
we can't do that.
I think it's time to stop doing that and start just settling in on heading to Mania.
And here's here's the one thing we can take away from this Fastlane card, Mike. I mean, the posters are going to have to be hung pretty soon, right?
That's true.
So the card has to pretty much, I would say by next, if not by Sunday, by next Monday and Tuesday, the card's got to be pretty cemented. Because it's only like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good
so,
point.
So, I mean, if there's any takeaway, you can take away that we're at least going to know, probably, like I said, by next week. By the time you hear episode 101 of Drive-By, we should have an almost perfectly clear picture, at least of the main events of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that.
So, I mean, that's a plus. We can know where we're going. We can build what little stories we have to build for the smaller stuff, and then we can tweak and add things to the bigger stuff. But I think putting another hoop in front of Becky would be one of the dumbest moves they could do at this point. Because that would just get to the point where people are like, okay, come on, we know what we're getting. Let's not do this.
Yeah, it would start to get to be a bit tedious.
It would. But I think overall, man, I think this looks on paper like it should be a pretty solid card with a lot of good wrestling matches.
I really do. I do think, like you said at the beginning, this has potential to be one of those pay-per-views that you don't really expect a lot of that turns out to be super enjoyable. So, looking forward to watching it this week.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Mike, you got anything else you want to... any more knowledge you want to spew to our loyal listeners here before we sign off for the day?
On the Super Nintendo game Rock and Roll Racing, always pick the racer named Tarkan. It's spelled Tarquan. He's got black hair and he's wearing a pink bandana. He's got the best handling on the game, and handling is the key to winning at Rock and Roll Racing.
I don't think I've ever played that game, sir.
It's like probably my favorite racing game of all time. I really like racing games, but it takes place in outer space and you race like supercharged, like, space racers, on, like, foreign planets, alien planets, and, against alien creatures, and it's really fun. It's really fun. I've got a mini SNES that's got a lot of every Super Nintendo game on it, ever. And I play it a lot, just for the nostalgia factor, but that's just a tip for anybody that goes to play that game.
Alright, well, if you're an old school gamer, listen to Mike. He knows what he's talking about. Guys, thank you so much. We're at 100 episodes, and I can't wait till we're at 200 episodes, and hopefully we're bigger and better and have a bigger following than we could ever imagine, and we can continue to bring this amazing... pat ourselves on the back. Amazing wrestling content to you guys. I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.